Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. Did you know bowling is quite a popular sport in some Native communities?
And as soon as you release a ball, you know whether it's going to be a strike or not. So right, it's exhilarating.
We'll hear from avid Native bowlers in this hour. Have you ever bowled a perfect game? Tell us about it right after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Art Hughes, in for Antonio Gonzalez. Calling it a way to reduce fractionalization of tribal lands, the U.S. Interior Department announced this week that it is scaling back the land buyback program. The buyback started in 2013 under then-President Barack Obama to consolidate tribal lands by allowing tribes to purchase sections from willing sellers. The program relied on nearly $2 billion set aside from the Cobell settlement. The announcement cites feedback from tribal leaders and landowners as reasons behind the change. The announcement says the department leadership will determine how best to allocate the remaining $540 million earmarked for the program. The man charged in the abduction and murder of an 11-year-old Navajo girl entered a guilty plea Tuesday in federal court in New Mexico. 28-year-old Tom Begay admits to the 6 counts stemming from the death of Ashlyn Mike in May of last year. The plea includes charges Begay abducted the girl's brother, who managed to escape unharmed. Begay initially pleaded not guilty. A release by the U.S. Department of Justice says this week's plea agreement requires a mandatory life sentence with no possibility of release. Family members and others filled the U.S. District Courtroom for the hearing. Afterwards, the girl's father, Gary Mike, told reporters that Begay finally admitted to what he and others already knew was true. In a written statement, Navajo Nation President Russell Begay said his community has suffered pain since the crime occurred and that the plea agreement is one step forward in healing. The crime prompted a review of Amber Alert systems designed to notify the public when a child is abducted. In this case, the notification went out hours after the abduction report. Last month, the Navajo Nation voted to support a congressional measure to expand the Amber Alert system to reservations. Chiefs from Canada's largest Native organization have passed a resolution calling for changes to the inquiry into missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, the chiefs would not go so far as to support a call to replace current commissioners.
The chiefs of the Assembly of First Nations were gathered in Regina for their annual summer meeting, and the issue of murdered and missing Indigenous women and girls was high on their agenda, specifically whether to endorse growing calls for a hard reset of the Commission of Inquiry. Some argued that to do that, there might not even be another inquiry, or it could take a couple of years to get off the ground. And there were arguments that some families have already given testimony during the inquiry's first hearing. The Assembly also heard from people who want a complete reset of the inquiry, people like Hilda Anderson Pierce, who lost family members to violence.
You failed in communications. You failed to build trust. You failed to build relationships with families. So for me, I stand here today and I ask the commissioners to respectively step down.
Debate among the chiefs continued for nearly 2 hours, some saying Canada's Indigenous people can't afford another delay, adding that although the process is flawed, they can still work together to fix it. Others said to remove the commissioners would be to kill the inquiry. But in the end, the chiefs from the country's most powerful First Nations organization rejected the call for the Prime Minister to replace the commissioners. But they did support calling for changes, including some form of reset and rethinking the commission's mandate and process. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
The U.S. Supreme Court could take up a water rights case involving the Agua Caliente Band of Kaweah Indians this fall. The Wall Street Journal reports the years-long case involving the small California tribe could affect water rights throughout the western United States. The tribe won a federal appeals court ruling in March in their argument to gain more control over management of the aquifer below tribal land. They say the public water agencies in charge of the water have mismanaged it. The aquifer helped drive development in California's Coachella Valley, including the city of Palm Springs. The paper notes tribes have won legal water rights challenges in the past, but the issue is less settled when it comes to groundwater. With National Native News, I'm Art Hughes.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support from AmeriCorps Vista, whose members fight against poverty while earning money for college and gaining skills, with rewarding service opportunities around the country and info at AmeriCorps.gov/Vista. Support by BNSF Railway, proud partners of the American Indian Science and Education Society's National Conference, September 21st to 23rd, helping prepare the next generation of STEM leaders. More at bnsf.com/tribal relations.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. Bowling shoes may not be exactly your style, but rolling a ball down a narrow lane to knock over a triangle of pins may equal loads of fun. Some bowlers take it to the next level and work countless hours to master the perfect way to topple those pins and get the perfect hook. Some people live for the sport of bowling. Across the country, there are native bowling tournaments like the Yakima Nation All-Indian Bowling Tournament, and that is in its 57th year. The Native American Bowling Tournament here in Albuquerque is also more than half a century old. And the Carson City Indian Bowling Tournament is something that gets marked on many calendars. All of these meeting spots showcase Native bowling talent and bring together a tight-knit community of Native bowlers. And we're going to take a look inside this community and learn what Native bowling is all about. And you are more than welcome to join us too. If you love spending time at the bowling alley, tell us why. Tell us about the best game you played. Give us a call at 1-800-99-NATIVE and tell us what place bowling has in your tribal community. Or maybe you grew up watching your family take to the lanes and have a story or two to share. The number to join us is also 1-800-996-2848, and our phone lines are open now. We caught up with one elder at this year's New Mexico Senior Olympic State Games who made Skidmore's Holiday Bowl here in Albuquerque sort of a second home late July, as she and dozens of others from around the state took to the lanes for just under a week in healthy competition.
Okay, my name is Sharon Linty Birch. I'm from Isleta, and I just got through participating in the state senior Olympics. My partner was also from Isleta. We bowled in the doubles. We just finished, and we got the gold. Go Isleta! Yay!
How does it feel when you're on the alley and seeing that ball traveling to the pins? How does it feel?
Well, you might have to bleep me out, but it is a very good feeling, because when you release the ball, you take it, you release it, and as soon as you release the ball, you know whether it's going to be a strike or not. So right, it's exhilarating. That's the feeling that you get when you release it. It goes down and you strike. It's exhilarating.
And how long have you been bowling?
Off and on. I got back into bowling. I've been bowling right now again about 5 years. I started bowling way back in the 60s, and I didn't bowl for about 20, 25, 30 years, and then I'm back at it now. So we're here.
So take me to those early years. What was it like being on the bowling circuit?
I usually call those the back in the dark ages. it's different, because it was more silliness at that time. We were all much younger, and all we did was get around there and laugh and giggle, and, you know, nobody really took the game seriously, at least I didn't. Nowadays, I take it a little more seriously, but I have more fun at it.
And it seems like there's some math involved or critical thinking. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, for my part, my critical thinking is I pay attention to the path of the ball, there's a lot of people at bowl that talk about the spots and the arrows and the boards, and it gets really complicated. But for my part, I only pay attention to the path of the ball, and I try to repeat that same path. Now, where it goes, I don't know, but I move myself to keep that same arc of the ball.
And how popular do you think it is among different native groups or native tribes?
Bowling is very popular. I think it's more popular in more recent years, and what I'm finding more enjoyable about it is that we have a lot of the older generation that are now taking it up for the first time, and I think that's fantastic.
And we appreciate Sharon, who on an average shoots her bowling ball down the lane at 10.5 miles per hour. We appreciate her sharing her thoughts on bowling. And Sharon was also a 2017 New Mexico Senior Olympic 70 to 74 doubles bowling gold medalist. Now, Sharon took us to the fun of bowling in the 60s, but what about you? How far can you take us back in the world of bowling? What about native leagues? Was there a time when it seemed like the lanes were paved with gold? And what about the thinking that's involved with this game? Is there something you'd like to comment on that? Well, we'd like to hear from you. Join us at 1-800-996-2848. Or maybe you'd simply like to show us you in your bowling prime or in a pretty snazzy bowling shirt from back in the day. Tweet it to us at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And right now, we're going to go to Fort Jones, California, to say hello to our first guest, Don Carlisle. He is a new Columbia 300 staff member and director for the Siskiyou Indian Bowling Tournament and Reno Indian Bowling Tournament. And he is Tlingit, Tsimshian, and Mandan. Welcome to our program, Don.
Hello.
How are you today, Don?
I'm not too bad. Can we clarify my last name? It's actually Don Carl.
Okay, Carl. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I get that mixed up a lot, but it's okay. But that's how you pronounce it.
All right. Well, Don Carl, we do appreciate you being with us. And we just heard from one bowling person. Anything that you want to pick up on, just hearing about her excitement for the game or even what it means to just throw that ball down the lane?
Well, she sounded like back in the day it was fun, and then coming up and doing it again, because this bowling is for everybody. It's from little people to older people to, you know, everybody. I mean, everybody can enjoy this sport.
And what is it about the sport that you enjoy?
I enjoy the competition. I enjoy the people. I enjoy the hosting of tournaments. That's one of my main big goals in life. I mean, I've just taken over Reno, and now I'm trying to make that one big and try to get my own Siskiyou Indian Bowling Tournament pretty big now. So just a lot of work, a lot of fun. I like to see warm, smiling faces. I like to see people show up from here, from there. I got people from Albuquerque. I got people from Omak, Washington. It was just great.
And Don, what do you think it is that is drawing all the people together?
You know, that's kind of a hard one, but I mean, for me, I mean, I go to them because I just personally enjoy bowling, and it's a native thing, which is, you know, pretty much just our thing. I mean, spouses are welcome, which is great, but I mean, I go to Las Vegas, I go to Yakima, I go to Reno, Carson City. I'm trying to go to Albuquerque this year, but for me, I just love the game. I just want to go where a lot of people are, meet new people, see new smiling faces, you know, get to know more native people around the, pretty much on the west side here, west coast.
So it truly is a social thing, and maybe that's why you love the sport of bowling. You can tell us about it by calling in 1-800-996-2848. And Don, take us through a typical league night or a tournament. What goes on?
Well, just preparation, I guess. You know, you get ready, you see the competition, you start, you know, planning out your attack, you start going through the motion of what, you know, equipment you want to use, which is like a medium rev ball or a high-end ball or a low ball, whatever that condition, you know, pretty much asks for. And that's how you find stuff out there in, like, warm-ups. And as you go, you start looking at it. And then wearing your branded shirts, which is going to be pretty cool this year for me, knowing that I got on with the Columbia 300 this year has been pretty exciting. So proudly representing just the competition mainly. I mean, there's some great native bowlers out here that I love competing against every tournament that I go to, and mainly the fun part of it and the warm atmosphere.
And so for you, what makes a good bowler?
What makes a good bowler? A guy who can probably go out and help people as much as he possibly can, even if he's having a hard time.
All right. That's definitely a good trait. And for you, too, what makes a good bowler? Give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. And, Don, when you watch certain people, it's always interesting to see what kind of motion they're in as they're releasing the ball. And then it's often you see the pattern that the ball takes. And what does it take to get that kind of style? Do you intentionally do it, or does it just come naturally? And tell me about that part.
Well, for some guys, there is a natural swing, which I was told years ago when I first started. And as you progress and you start watching certain bowlers like me, I was actually watching, you know, the better high-end bowlers in my bowling center. And I didn't try to emulate them. I more or less tried to incorporate their, you know, the game with my game. And also talking to, you know, really great bowlers out there. I got a lot of friends that, you know, seen something in me and helped me a lot. And you can also go to, like, professional coaches. I went to a coach in Reno. His name was Mike Jasnow. That guy was tremendous. He changed my game dramatically. And now, for the good, it's just been a great deal.
All right, very nice. And, you know, I had a chance to cruise the lanes this summer at the Senior Olympics here in New Mexico, and it was really great to watch some of those folks toss the ball down the lane. And there was one lady, it looked like she was just setting it down, and all of a sudden it'd just be rolling down the lane, and then it'd do this hook, and she was like hitting strike after strike. Maybe you're not the bowler in your family or in your community, but you like watching it and seeing some of the skills that your fellow tribal members have. If you want to tell us about that too, give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Maybe you grew up in a family of bowlers and you want to brag up some of your family members. Tell us about it. Or maybe some really spectacular moments when somebody bowled that perfect game or that not so perfect game, but yet there's a good story to share. Call us right now. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We're going to take a call. We're going to hear from Karen in Gualala, California, listening today on KGUA. Karen, thank you for your call, and go ahead, share your love of bowling.
Thanks. I started bowling when I lived in Sacramento, and I was probably in my mid-20s, and it was just a really fun experience. One of my other coworkers at the time, who was Kickapoo, and she was really into bowling, and she kind of brought me into this whole new world that I never knew about. She actually got me on a league. I told her, I don't know much about bowling. She's like, I just need a team member to fill my team, and you don't have to be the best. I will work with you and train you. And she even took me to a pro shop and got my ball fitted. So I have a custom ball and custom shoes. It was just I don't know. It was such a cool new experience. And I never really got great, but I did hit 3 strikes in a row. And I guess as part of the league, that they give you it's called a turkey when you hit 3 strikes in a row. And so I got my first patch and I put it on my bag. So I just loved it. I miss it because here in Wallala, we do not have bowling lanes. But yeah, it was a really great experience.
And Karen, you made me think of when you're watching or you're around bowlers, they kind of have their own lingo for different things. Or if you don't make that turkey, then certain things happen. Or just lingo that goes on. Did you pick up any of the bowling lingo, or especially if it was native inspired? Anything to share, Karen?
Well, I don't know. We would just say nice ball whenever you hit a good, either a strike or you got nine pins down. Like, yes, this is, you know, because you're rooting for your team. So, yeah, there was definitely some lingo. You know, for us natives, we're like, we would kind of holler around sometimes. We go, whoop. So that was kind of fun, too. But, yeah, it was definitely fun having that experience.
Very nice. Well, if you got any bowling war cries that your team does, cheers, secret lingo, maybe not so secret because you're going to tell millions of listeners, but if you want to share some of that fun side, give us a call. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Let's go ahead and hear from another caller. We have Catherine in Castro Valley, California, connecting to us today online. Catherine, thank you for giving us a ring. And what do you want people to know about Native bowling?
Well, I was just placed as director for the Las Vegas National Classics Bowling Tournament, and I'm proud to say we had 236 Native American bowlers that filled South Point Bowling Center. We filled 63 lanes of bowling. We had three 300 bowlers that achieved the 300 awards. So we had some great talent. We had many tribes from many different states all over the United States. And since I've been handed this directorship, I think it's great. It came from Wendell and Carolyn Starr from Los Angeles, California, and they let me take the tournament over this year. So I had a great time. It's a great experience, and I love meeting people from all over the United States. And it was a great turnout, so I look forward to our 25th anniversary next year. It'll be at South Point in July, so I'm looking forward to that.
And Catherine, take me to it. What is it like when you have some 200 native bowlers all in one place? Set the scene for me.
Well, I like to see the youth. I like to see the elders. There's many, many talented bowlers coming from all over the United States. It's nice to see the past caller talked about yells and their little traditional things. I like to see their double fist pumps and their high fives. And everybody encourages each other to bowl great. There's a lot of love in the house. There's a lot of friendships made. There's a lot of great competition. I think it's just a really high. It's a natural high to see all of your people in one house.
Very nice. And Catherine, for you, when did it all begin?
Well, for me, I grew up in the Bay Area. My parents came out here on relocation. My mother came from Gallup, New Mexico. My father from Carson City, Nevada. They met out here and got married in the early 60s. And I was talking to my dad. He said he started bowling in 1963 in San Francisco, California. And they bowled in a little league. And with all the natives being here away from home, they started up the Native American League here in the Bay Area. And they started traveling all the way down to L.A., to New Mexico, to Washington, to Oregon. And they just started different tournaments in the area all along the West Coast and whatnot. And so they've been bowling since the 60s. And I got into it in my late 30s, and I wasn't very good, but I did improve as time went along. And I enjoy the sport because I love competition. I love a challenge. So for me, a personal challenge to get higher scores, and winning Masters is euphoric. So I've won a couple Masters tournaments here and there, but I enjoy the sport.
I bet you
and I
do.
Think my parents got me into it, so.
Yes, many of us have followed that path. I think I was on the bowling lanes when my mom was pregnant with me, so I've been, I guess, bowling my entire creation. What about you? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And Catherine, what about the names? We're going to hear from the Gutter Girls or a member of the Gutter Girls in our second half, but what about just some of those fun names?
Well, I was teasing my mother because she bowled with a couple from Omak, Washington, and she couldn't come up with a name. So I told her, as director, I'm going to give you a name. So since they were from Omak and my mom's from here, I said, we're going to name your team O. McDonald Had a Farm. But we come up with some pretty impressive names. I've seen the Strikers. You know, I've seen all kinds of interesting names come across on teams and whatnot. But it's a lot of fun. It's Four Arrows. There's several of them. So.
Well, Catherine, we wish you the best. And as many people make their way to South Point in their life sometime to bowl in your tournament. And folks, maybe there was a great tournament you went to and a great moment you want to share. Call us right now. It is all about bowling today. And if you've been waiting for this conversation, well, don't wait another minute. Call in. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And Don, I got to go to you. What about some of these names coming out of our tribal nations? Any good ones to share?
What do you mean names like?
Bowling teams.
Oh, bowling teams. Well, when we get me and my staff members get together, my buddies are from like Yakima, and I'm from the Fort Jones area. I call ourselves like the Fort Yakima, you know, things like that.
Yeah, some good ones. And Don, just hearing some of the excitement that Catherine had to share, anything about your legacy that you want to talk about today as to what pulled you into the bowling lane?
Well, it was from my father-in-law. His name's Fred Case. When I moved down from Alaska, he needed another bowler. And he said, "You're bowling." And I looked at him and I'm like, "Bowling?" He goes, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Oh." And then from there on, I've learned to enjoy the game, love the sport, and gave me really big passion in these last probably 8 to 10 years. And I've been, you know, pushing really hard for as much bowling I can advertise to show, to tell people on a normal basis. I mean, that's how I get people to come to my tournaments to advertise for Reno, for Siskiyou out in Medford, Oregon, and just keep working hard.
And Don, why is it that bowlers, they try and lure you in, especially if you say, "Well, I can't bowl," and they're like, "It's okay, we can use your handicap." Don?
You're kind of breaking up there.
Don, what is it about why bowling teams always want to pull you in, and if you say you can't bowl, then they say, "It's okay, we can use your handicap."
Oh, it's just, I think what... If they want to pull you in like that, it's just they want to show you to have, you know, tell you to have fun, to, you know, get out there and try it, try something you haven't tried, I guess. For me, when I first started, I was only like a 120 guy, and people would always cheer me on and say, you know, "You're going to get better, you're going to get better," and you get all those people that, you know, are standing behind you that want you to do good, even though you feel like you're not doing good. So then when you start realizing, you know, the game's so fun and there's other things you can do, like no-tap tournaments or Monte Carlo or just trying your best at a different tournament or going to do anything, then you start, you know, really liking it and enjoying it. And then it turns around. That's what happened to me. I mean, I've traveled a lot of places and seen a lot of different styles.
I can hear the good energy. We're going to hear more right after this. Stay tuned. This is Native America Calling. Teenagers are not having as many babies these days. That's what recent data by the National Center for Health Statistics says. For Native teens, the birth rate went down, but stayed the same for 15 to 17-year-olds. What still needs to be done to prevent more teen births in our Native nations? Join us for this discussion on the next Native America Calling.
Boogie Woogie, turn around real quick.
Program support from AmeriCorps Vista. AmeriCorps Vista members make a difference in the fight against poverty while earning money for college and gaining valuable skills. We have rewarding service opportunities around the country, focusing on economic opportunity, healthy futures, education, and more. It will change your life and the lives of others. Information at AmeriCorps.gov/VISTA. Support made possible by the Utah Office of Tourism announcing the Four Corners School of Outdoor Education, offering a wide variety of field-based educational hiking and rafting adventures, from day trips to week-long adventures throughout the Colorado Plateau. Nearby attractions include Canyonlands National Park, Hovenweep National Monument, Natural Bridges National Monument, Monument Valley Tribal Park, Cedar Mesa, and the San Juan River. Information and reservations at fourcornerschool.org.
Welcome back to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo. And bowling may not be a sport you think about when it comes to burning tons of calories and building bulging muscles. Well, it's definitely exercise, especially if you're not used to it. Don't think so? Well, just try throwing a few heavy balls down a bowling alley and see how your arms and legs feel the next day. And whether you're a novice or a pro, we want to hear your bowling tales today. What is it about the lanes that make you smile? What about your family? Is there someone who has an average you'd like to brag up? Join us at 1-800-99-NATIVE. That's also where you send us a tweet. And we had a chance to talk with Hilda Birch. She's Southern Ute, and she's a lifelong bowler who's ready to get a team together and head out on the road again. She shared some achievements she had on the alley while participating in a couple of United States Bowling Congress tournaments.
And one thing that we did is we won in our state level the team event. And my partner and I won our doubles and singles, and I won my singles division, and I won an all events division, beating out a pro bowler to go to the overall nationals. And my other bowler, who was 80 something plus years old, out of our league, the two of us got to the nationals, and we went to Green Bay, Wisconsin, 1 year, and we bowled over there in our age group, and that was a great accomplishment for us. You know, as a team, to have done that in 1 year, that was my biggest accomplishment, as well as almost getting a 300 game back in 1985. So the sport of bowling is there, and getting the kids involved here. My nieces and nephews, they like bowling because they see anti-bowling, so they want to get into bowling, and I'm teaching them how to, you know, just throw the ball down. Just look at the arrow and throw the ball down. And don't worry about whether it goes in a gutter or not. We all gutter every now and then. And that's what our name is now, Gutter Girls.
Oh, the Gutter Girls. Maybe you've seen them in action. Join our conversation today, 1-800-99-NATIVE. And that was Hilda Birch, who's a force to be reckoned with when it comes to bowling. And she said she took a break from bowling for a few years because there were no bowling alleys in Ignacio, Colorado, where she lives. But she picked it back up after the Sky Ute Casino added a bowling alley recently. And what about you? Has access to a bowling alley changed you from being the best native bowler you can be? How close is the nearest bowling alley? How far would you travel for a game? And what kind of sacrifices do you make to go bowling? Give us a call. Join our conversation. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. Or send us a tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And let's go ahead and go to our phone lines because we're going to bring in a special bowler. We are going to Palm Springs, California to say hello to Michael Duran. And Michael, word around town is you know quite a thing or two about bowling. You're a professional bowler. Welcome to the hour, Michael. And go ahead and further introduce yourself. Anything more you want people to know about you and why this is important.
Hi, my name is Michael Duran. I'm Cahuilla and Serrano Indian, live on the Morongo Indian Reservation. And that's about it. But, you know, bowling is great. A lot of the native kids out here are starting to bowl. I mean, we have a bowling alley probably less than a mile away on our tribal land. So it's kind of fun. They're getting more involved in it. Oh, could you say hi to Don for me, too, please?
Sure, he's on the line too. Don, that's Mike saying hi to you.
Hello.
How you doing?
But,
you know, pretty good. Glad to see you're on the air talking about bowling.
Yeah, that's Don Caro coming to us from Fort Jones, California. And Michael, you're so humble. You are a professional bowler. It isn't easy, and not everybody gets to say those kind of things. Tell us what it means to have that kind of title, and how did you earn it?
Well, I just joined the PBA, and, you know, I just wanted to bowl against the best bowlers in the world, and which I do. And they're a lot better than I am, you know what I mean? So, but I can compete with them to a point, I think. And, you know, it's just, anybody can join the PBA. You just have to average over 200 for so long and then put in your application, and either they'll accept you or they won't. You have to be in good standings with USBC, and, you know, they check you out and make sure you're going to be a good candidate for the PBA.
And, Michael, what do you attribute your success to?
Practice. A lot of practice. My coach, Mark Baker, he's a Hall of Fame bowler. He bowled in the PBA, and he's really helped me. He's really helped me a lot with my game. Now, if we could work on my mental game, we'd have something.
And Michael, anything you'd like to share about just what it means to be on the lanes with other natives?
It's fun to see all the bros and sisters out there, you know, especially when you can get them all in the same bowling alley. Everybody's, like they said earlier, are congratulating each other. Just the atmosphere itself brings a good feeling to you. You know what I mean? Because everybody's getting along, and it's just fun. You know what I mean? It's just really fun.
And Michael, is there anything you want to share of people how to improve their game? We got a pro bowler on the line, folks. All right, tell us all your secrets, Michael.
Secrets is just practice. You just have to practice. You got to learn the fundamentals of the game. And you have to do it. It's repetitive. It's something that you just can't do once and expect you have it fixed. It's something you have to always practice, practice, practice. Like they say, practice makes perfect. And just do your best, you know. Even if you, like the lady was saying earlier, you throw a gutter ball. I've thrown a gutter ball on live TV before, so everybody throws gutter balls, but you got to practice. You have to practice to get better. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, they owned it and even took it as their name. And Michael, I know you said you're working on the mental side of the game, but any encouragement for folks who, you know, they hit the gutter or they don't get that last pin down, and, you know, putting up that wall to not let yourself down or wallow in the gutters along with the ball. Any thoughts?
It's hard, especially if you got to get a spare to win the game and you don't get it. It can be depressing for certain people. I know for me it can be. And I'm sure other people, because they feel like if you're bowling on a team, you feel like you let your team down. You know what I mean? All you can do is just, if you miss a shot, you just turn around and you should let it go by the time you get to the end of the approach and forget about it, because there's nothing you can do about it. That frame is already done, and you move on. But that's the part I have trouble. I think about the last shot when I'm up throwing my next shot. So you just have to let things go and just continue to work on your game.
All right. And Michael, where can people watch you or next tournament you're going to be at where more people can tune in?
My next tournament will be in a couple of weeks. I'll be bowling the New Mexico Open at 10 pins.
Okay.
I think it's the 17th. So I'll be out in New Mexico.
All right. Watch out for Mr. Michael Duran. Thank you for giving us a ring. And we want you to give us a ring, too. How much do you love bowling and why? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We're going to take a phone call. We have Delilah in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Delilah, thank you for giving us a ring. You're on air with Delilah.
Thank you. Everybody always gives me that Delilah from the nighttime radio show. But anyway, I just wanted to comment on the topic today and share my enthusiasm with about the sport of bowling. As you mentioned, we live in Albuquerque. I have two children who bowled for their high school bowling team here at El Dorado High School, and in the past 2 years, they've gone and become the state runners-up for the New Mexico State High School Bowling Tournament. You know, I pretty much grew up in the bowling alley. It was, you know, something that my grandparents did. It was something that my parents got involved in, and I remember, you know, being in Albuquerque and traveling to all of the different bowling alleys that unfortunately aren't open anymore, but, you know, just seeing that camaraderie that and experiencing it with my grandparents and my parents, you know, about this particular sport, it's, I think, not something that I've ever experienced since that time, but in having my kids kind of move forward and participate with their high school team, you know, it's always very exciting. It's always very cool to learn the terminology and what it means to bowl a Brooklyn or, you know, those kinds of things. And it's also really refreshing, I think, and motivating to see other Native teams participate in, like, the state tournament. Like, for this year, there was a Native team from Grants, New Mexico, that was in the state tournament, and there was also a team from Gallup. And, you know, it's nice to see those faces and for them to have that encouragement from everybody in the bowling alley, you know, because when it comes down to the top five teams, somebody is cheering for somebody else, and it's nice to see. And it's also, I think, a great confidence builder for those students. And I really do have to give a shout out to the High School Bowling Association here in New Mexico, because they do work very hard to make sure that all of the students that are participating in these programs or in these tournaments are included and well taken care of, and they give out so much scholarship money during the year. And I think it's just, you know, it's, to me, what I've been able to view it as is an all-inclusive sport. It doesn't matter what your background is or where you come from or how you're starting or anything like that. Bowling is something that is definitely that it is very welcoming and provides a lot of opportunities. The farthest we've traveled for a tournament has been to Tennessee this past summer so that the high school team could bowl in the National High School Bowling Tournament, and that was really a great experience and something very new for us. So it's fun, and I would encourage, you know, people to take advantage of the there's a free bowling program during the summer. It's called Kids Bowl Free, where local bowling alleys will allow kids to bowl up to two games per day during certain hours.
So there's a lot of support. And Delilah, I do appreciate you sharing this. And as we're hearing, you know, bowling, it sounds like stretches across the spectrum. And earlier we tweeted out a photo of some Native elders. I think they're in their 80s. And hearing it goes all the way down to high school. And then, you know, you tell the little ones, we're going bowling. And, you know, they put their shoes on fast. They get in the car without any fuss often. So it's bringing in all kinds of ages. And for you, what side of bowling, Native bowling, would you like to share? Give us a ring, 1-800-996-2848. Delilah, thank you for your call. And we're going to bring in a couple of more people who know a thing or two about bowling. From Rio Rancho, New Mexico, we have Adrienne Hare. She is a Native bowler. She's Osage. Adrienne, welcome to the hour.
Thank you. Hi.
Hey. And also on the line joining us from Chandler, Arizona, is Ernie Mendoza. He is a Strike Force Tour Player of the Year in Arizona and a member of the Gila River Indian Community. Ernie, thank you for being with us, too.
Thank you for having me. It's a great opportunity to share my experience.
Well, we want to hear about it. And Adrienne, anything you're excited about? Just hearing all this bowling talk, hearing from other Native nations. Go ahead, Adrienne.
Yes.
I'm sorry. For whatever reason, I have great service, but now I'm having an issue hearing you. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're sounding good. We're having technical issues here, too, and maybe it's our fault. We'll blame it on us. But, Adrian, tell your story.
I can hear you decently okay now. There we go.
Okay, go ahead, Adrian.
Yes, so I've grown up all my life. I was almost bred to bowl, is what I joke around with other people about. My dad bowled professionally on tour. My aunt bowled professionally on tour. And my grandparents bowled. My grandma is the one who really started bowling in my family. And we are Osage, and my grandma was full-blooded Osage. And I grew up going to watch her bowl in the Native American tournament here in Albuquerque that used to be held at Fiesta Lanes. For all those listeners out in Albuquerque, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And it was even when Mike Duran said that he is coming out here to bowl the New Mexico Open, that's at my family's bowling center at 10 Pins and More. And so I've grown up bowling all my life. Now I have my own daughter, and she bowls. And what's so cool about it is I can bowl a league with my daughter, and she's 5 years old, and I can bowl a league with my grandpa, and he's 85. And what many people may not know is that I bowled all the while growing up, and then I was able to go to school at the University of Nebraska on a full-ride bowling scholarship. So not only is it a blasty blast, and it's so much fun for every generation, but it provided me a vehicle to even go get an education for free, and I'll never be able to replace that. So it's been a really, really incredible gift in my life.
Adrian, it truly does sound like you were bred to bowl. That's a good one. Sounds like a good hashtag. Ernie, for you, anything you want to share about why you connect to this sport?
One of the best things, like Don, Michael Duran, and Adrian has said, is it's a lot of fun. The participation, being able to meet new people, meet new faces from all over the states. For me, it's about camaraderie, having fun, competing against other, you know, Native American brothers and sisters, and having that opportunity to travel from state to state, as well as compete during whether it be leagues or tournaments.
And Ernie, for you, what is it that bowling brings to, you know, your life, or even just bringing more natives together? Why do you think it's so popular and has remained that way among Native nations through so many decades?
Well, foremost, I think the way everybody described it, it's fun. It brings everybody together to have fun, laughs, however you encounter the night, the evening, the weekend, whatever the opportunity is. But for me, for myself, bowling's basically, it's a learning thing. It's like life. Bowling is fun, it's challenging, it's competitive. It requires a lot of participation. Dedication, hard work, and like Michael Duran says, a lot of practice makes perfect. I think that the most I get out of it is being able to compete in the sport. It teaches me how to be humble, gives me it educates me mentally and physically.
Nice. And, you know, I think if we were to take a look back at how bowling was and how bowling is today, you might start saying things like, I was bowling when you had to keep your own score. What about for you, Adrian? Any of those, I was bowling back when?
Oh, gosh. I think for me, the biggest thing I noticed, and I'm 32, and so growing up bowling, and being with my grandparents and going and watching them bowl league, I noticed that there seemed to be a lot more people who did bowl in a league, or maybe women bowled in a
women's league in the morning, and there was a nursery at the bowling alley, and you could bring your kids, and there was someone there to watch your little ones while you bowled and competed against your girlfriends. And I know that generation and times have just changed, but I'd be most interested to know why some people wouldn't join a league, or are they interested in it, or what maybe prevents them from joining one?
Well, maybe people can answer that. There's a couple of minutes left, or you want to put it on our website or send us a tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Go ahead, answer that question. And Adrian, is there anything you want to share about women in bowling? Are there tons of Native women bowlers? Has there always been tons of Native women bowlers? What do you think?
I think there has always been a big market for women's bowling. And I think that it's one of those things that might just be a bit of a secret club until you know it's there. But it's no different, I think, than the same as we have our own Native bowling clubs and all of these tournaments. And I've met so many people that have become like family to me by bowling those tournaments. And truthfully, I didn't know there was other tournaments besides the one here in Albuquerque until I met more people to tell me about it. And so it's one of those things where maybe there's not a lot of awareness until you kind of delve in a little farther.
And so give us some tips, too. You've been around the bowling alley. You live bowling alley. Is there anything you want to share about how you get to that perfect game, and why is that so important, if at all?
Well, I think one of the best tips I could give for brand new people, if you just go bowling and you use a ball off of the rack there, you rent one or use one that's there, I always tell people to aim at the arrows. Most often, I think human nature is to want to look at the front pin and aim for that. But it's easier if you pick a target that's closer to you to hit it. And so if you next time you go bowling, if you'll pick that middle arrow and try to hit the middle arrow on the lane, I would say that that helps a lot. And people, when you're professional, we mark on the lane. We target on the lane. Most people do. And so I think that's a really good tip. And the other part of it is too, a huge tip would be to just have fun and don't, every shot is a new shot. And so there's nothing you can do about the pass shot, and there's no defense in bowling. I think sometimes people can get caught up in what someone else is doing and, oh, this person just shot a 200 game, or this person just shot 40 pins higher than me. And the truth is there's no defense in this sport. So it's you against the pins. And I think if you can stay in that mental place, it'll help your game immensely.
And what about choosing a ball? You know, the difference between having your own and then maybe you can't afford it or it isn't the time to buy a ball. How do you choose the right one at the alley? Go ahead.
I am so, so sorry. For whatever reason, it is, are you asking me the difference between the bowling balls?
Just give us some advice on how to choose a good one.
Oh, how to choose a good one. Sure. So what you want to do is, the basic rule of thumb is many times I think people pick a ball that is too light for them. And you want to pick about 10% of your body weight. So if you weigh 150 pounds, you're capable of throwing a 15-pound ball. And the reason why you want to have that weight is because a good bowling swing is a free-falling natural gravity swing where the weight of the ball takes your swing. It's not powered with your biceps. It's just a very free swing. So you want to make sure your fingers fit in there decently tight and your thumb.
All right. All great tips. Ernie, any great tips to leave us with?
Have fun. Enjoy the sport. From a competitive standpoint, practice makes perfect. You'll never, ever be perfect. However, to be a better bowler, it takes dedication, preparation, and most of all, hard work. And like Adrian has said, have fun. Enjoy it. Let's not get down on yourselves. Take one shot at a time. There is no defense. bowling's great. Bowling's a great sport. Have fun.
And you know what, Aaron, Ernie, it's also about making memories. Share a memory with us, your best game, before we let you go.
Oh, sharing best memory would have to be shooting a perfect game with the presence of my daughter there at the bowling alley. It's an accomplishment. Every perfect game is an accomplishment. I don't care what anybody says. It's one of those things where you just 12 strikes, you know, 12 perfect shots. Sure, you're going to have one or two, maybe even three that are lucky, but for the most part, it's an accomplishment. And your surroundings at that particular moment makes a big difference, whether it be your friends, family. I've been participating a lot with my brother, and it's definitely overwhelming when you can have someone that close be there and witness an accomplishment like that. And for me, it was having a perfect game when my daughter was present at the bowling alley.
Well, we'll have to one day catch up with her and get that side of the story. But I do appreciate you joining us today, Ernie Mendoza. And folks, that's going to wrap it up. Also, thanks to our guests, Adrian Hare and Don Carl. Join us again tomorrow as we take a look at teen pregnancy in Native America. Thanks to the Native America Calling crew, our executive producer, Art Hughes, senior producer, Monica Brain, associate producer, Andy Murphy. Also, thanks to Stephen Emmons for engineering today's show. And we'd also like to thank Derek Toledo for his engineering skills and what he brought to our team. We wish him the best as he pursues more journalistic paths as a New Mexico fellowship grantee with the Institute of Policy Studies. Wish you the best, Derek. Thanks for everything. Also, thanks to Antonia Gonzalez, anchor and producer of National Native News. I'm your host and producer, Tara Gatewood. It's been a pleasure to hear about Native bowling. If there's another sport you'd like to get some insight on, know the great Native athletes you want us to talk to, reach out to us, send us an email, comments@NativeAmericaCalling.com. We're back tomorrow.
Beat the heat of medical costs. Keep your kids covered this summer by signing them up for Medicaid or CHIP. Call 1-800-318-2596 or visit medicaid.gov. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Support by Prairie Edge Trading Company, purveyors of traditional and contemporary Northern Plains Native American fine art, including buffalo skulls and robes, shields, weapons, clothing, music, and more at prairieedge.com. Wopila. And by Intertribal H2O, offering Enagic water filters from Japan, which alkalize water in homes and offices. Information about their products and testimonials available at intertribalh2o.com.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.